a lot of people talk about picking the right solution, and they talk about AI, computer vision, and other technologies. Yes, that's important. But the bigger challenge when it comes to data science applications is in helping users adopt it. So if building applications is tough, helping them adopt it is even tougher.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery from SAP. And with me on the show today, I have my special guest, Ganes. Ganes, welcome to the podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Tom. Absolutely. So I'm the co-founder and chief decision scientist at Gramna. I have about 20 years of experience solving organizational challenges using technology. I co-founded Gramna to help organizations make better decisions with data, analytics, and storytelling. In my current role, I lead a client advisory and innovation, helping CIOs and chief data officers come up with a data strategy, identify strategic initiatives as part of the roadmap, and ultimately get business ROI through data-driven decision-making. So I am passionate about writing and speaking on the applications of data. I write for Forbes and Entrepreneur, and I have spoken at events such as TEDx, Inbound, and I also am passionate about teaching. I run guest lectures at schools like Rutgers and Princeton University. Overall, I'm obsessed with data. That's the underlying message. For example, I have been logging my time 24 hours every day for the last 4 years, and I've analyzed this data to build habits and improve the personal decision making.
Wow, that's taken it to a whole nother level. Wow, okay. Very good, very good. So you are passionate about data science and data science strategy, and you help organizations with their data science strategy. What kind of challenges do you come across, or do the organizations you help come across? Primarily, what are the big main challenges that organizations come across that you can help them with?
Yeah. These are making better informed decisions, whether it is a strategic level for executives when they want to decide where to take the company next, or it could be at the middle or at the ground level operational decision making. So organizations reach out to Gramna to not just get advisory on where to go, but also implementation support on how to realize the value. So we do both likes of data strategy and roadmap I talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And we have a low-code platform, which we use for implementing the solutions and implementing machine learning and data storytelling so that you can realize the value by connecting data to decisions.
Okay, and was it this low-code platform that you used to analyze your own data?
So this, I have done it on Excel. I believe in using the simplest tools possible and then scale up in complexity as you need it. So for this one, I'm still at the level of using descriptive and diagnostic analytics with Excel. But at the next level, I've been, now I've been doing it for 4 years, I'm looking to scale it up and automate some of those. That's where perhaps the next stage, a low-code platform will become very handy.
I can imagine, because doesn't Excel have a limit to the number of rows in every spreadsheet?
No, Excel actually, the current version goes beyond that. I think we used to have a certain limit, mm-hmm. but now I don't think that exists anymore. And Excel, by the way, is very powerful, can do a lot of stuff. Just that when it comes to automating, macros can take it only to a certain extent. When you want to have end-to-end automation or even some visuals which bring out the insights automatically, you will go beyond the limits of Excel and you'll have to look at other tools.
Okay. We'll come back to supply chain. So, sure. If organizations are in the supply chain space, where should they start to transform their operations using data?
Yeah, this is a common question I get. Any organization starting with the data, so the common challenges are they get started with an interesting project in data and analytics. I often say for success with data and analytics, start your project not with data or with analytics, but with business challenges. So for supply chain, again, you'll have to start with the organizational strategy. What does the organization intend to do in the 2 to 3 years time frame? And what is the priority for the organization this year? And then identify the data and analytics strategy based on the organizational strategy to see what decision making you need to enable and who are the users you want to support. So that's a good starting point rather than jumping into executing a few projects.
Okay. Are there any particular industries that are further ahead in this space or that you think need a bit of a leg up or anything in between?
Organizations or industries, there are different industries. For instance, financial services is one industry which is ahead. And there's an interesting report I've come across from International Institute of Analytics. They have ranked the different industries based on the maturity, the data and analytics maturity. So that way, I think supply chain falls somewhere in between. There are leaders like financial and other industries. Overall, it'll be a useful thing for organizations to see where their industry lies. And within their industry, obviously, there's, again, a good spread. There are leaders and laggards. Mm. So that's a way to benchmark oneself and see how one compares over time periodically every 6 months or so.
And what about the leaders themselves? There has to be some kind of a culture shift in organizations to adopt a data-first strategy. Are the leaders within those organizations, do you think do they have the right culture for doing that? And if not, how to change that culture?
There are some specific characteristics which stand out for the leaders in those in the different industries. A clear factor is the role of leadership, executives and leadership. Mm. Where executives understand the importance of data and play a hands-on role in leading it from the front, those organizations benefit. And a second one you touched upon, culture. Overall within the organization, how ready is the organization to accept change? So change management is a second factor. If an organization is very conservative, slow to adopt innovations, they would have challenge adopting data-driven innovations as well. So that's a second factor. And a third one is how the organizational processes are wired or re-architected to facilitate the use of data. Often people view this as one tool, like a bolt-on tool. You bring it in and then give it to people and let them get the benefit out of it. It can help you get incremental gains, but that is not the most efficient way. When you bring in a powerful tool, a data science solution, you'll have to re-architect the business processes. And so that, again, goes very closely with change management and the role of leadership. When you have all these three aspects coming together, those organizations gain the most and are able to demonstrate business benefits from data science.
Okay. And if I am an organization realizing that I'm behind the curve in my data science strategy, what are like first steps I should be taking to catch up again?
First step would be, once you understand that, yes, there is a lot of work to do, get started with framing a data and analytics strategy. We briefly touched upon this. We talked about how you can get this started by looking at the organizational priorities, onboard the business leadership, and come up with a strategic roadmap in terms of where you want to apply data and analytics, short term to long term. So that's the first step. And second, you'll have to translate that into projects. And this is, again, a common area where organizations make the mistake of picking one or two projects, either based on whatever they think is important, whatever is urgent and important, or based on the loudest voice on the floor, who is asking for certain solutions, the loudest, they go with that. That's, again, a mistake. You'll have to pick a portfolio of projects. In supply chain, for instance, let's take the case of a warehouse. If the chief data officer of an organization which is running warehouses has a budget of, say, $1 million, a typical tendency is to split this budget across three or four functions, say, give one project to marketing, one to operations, one to finance, and try to satisfy everyone. That doesn't work out very well. Instead, if you pick one or two strategic areas, let us say operations improvement, and you do three or four projects in that area, understanding your demand and supply. And second, for instance, you streamline the appointments that you handle at the warehouse and other aspects, right? You pick all those initiatives which will give you the biggest business benefit and which has some synergy with other projects that you're choosing. So that's what I mean by a portfolio of projects. When you choose a portfolio of projects, which is aligned with the organizational strategy and data analytics strategy, that can move the organization in terms of the direction and in terms of the business benefits that they can get. That is very powerful.
Okay, and what kind of benefits then can organizations get? Have you got use cases you can speak to?
Yes, absolutely. So let me talk about one of our clients, a leading cold chain warehouses operator in the US. So the challenge they were facing was to streamline operations. And one of the first problems we picked and helped them solve was handling the turnaround time delays. From the time, so in this case, let's take a truck coming into the warehouse, and the time planned to handle this, the inbound, is about, say, a SLA of 1.5 hours. And there were several appointments which were taking more than 2 hours. So how can data and analytics help with that? We looked at several factors. What are the factors which lead to the delay? It could be that you're overbooked appointments, or you've taken too much of time on one appointment that has a cascading effect. Or third, there's an incoming truck which is delayed, which can again have a ripple effect on all other appointments. So there could be several factors which lead to delays, and it can have impact through the entire day. So we built a machine learning solution by analyzing the factors, looking at which are the most important ones. And the solution suggested an appointment time when a carrier calls. They say that this is the, say, you have to come in at 3:30 p.m. And that factors in a lot of these other aspects, which, for instance, how many appointments do they have, and what are the kind of appointments, and what's the typical delays they have seen for these kind of appointments from these carriers. By factoring all of these, it suggests an appointment slot, and that helps to reduce the overall turnaround time. What we have seen is that there was a 15% improvement in turnaround times after the solution went live. This was done as a pilot in a couple of warehouses. Eventually, it was rolled out across dozens of warehouses for this player. And there was a business benefit, projected benefit of $1.2 million annually, just by this one solution to intelligently pick appointments and improve the turnaround time.
Wow, impressive. Any other good ones you can talk to?
Apart from that, another common challenge today is the worker shortage and appointment in terms of how do you plan the work activities within warehouses. Mm-hmm. So this was also a challenge for our client. So once you have this appointment, I talk about synergy between the projects, right? Once we had the first project implemented, a natural second one was to address this challenge of streamlining the worker productivity and improving that. So here we built a system to identify when is the right time to start planning to service their appointment. Because when you have a truck coming in, now in this case, let's say there's an outbound, you have to load goods onto a truck which comes in. So you'll have to start picking all the goods and assembling them in the warehouse so that once the truck comes in, you're able to load it onto the truck in the shortest time possible. So when do you start collecting the goods from different parts of the warehouse and assembling it? That's one challenge. And second, how do you assign the work in a most efficient manner? It's done by supervisors, but when you have so many jobs and different complexities and different types of jobs, can you have a system assist the supervisors? So that's what we did with the worker allocation and task planning system. That looks at a lot of historical factors, how much time it took to pick a certain type of task, like a bulk picking, and what is the efficiency of certain workers and for certain types of tasks. By looking at all of these factors, the system says if you have a 7 p.m. appointment, you'll have to start at, say, 10:30 a.m., or maybe you'll have to start previous evening. So it comes up with a kind of a project plan,
right,
automatically. And second, these tasks, if you have these 15 tasks, you'll have to assign these tasks to these people. And it goes down to a minute by minute level that, okay, this person is currently in this part of the warehouse. So the next task can be given to this person because this person is already there. So that way, optimizing that even within minutes and allocating the work. So when you have all of these coming together, you can imagine the complexity which has gone into building the solution. But overall, for a supervisor, they don't have to understand the complexity of data and analytics. They just have the system making recommendations, and they can choose to follow it or choose to override it in certain exceptional cases. So that, again, is a solution which we built, which has just gone live, and we're seeing very good benefits there as well.
Okay. And where to from here? I mean, what's next for data science? What's the next big thing coming down the road?
Yeah. So if you look at warehouses, in the future, you'll have, and we are seeing that with some of the organizations like, say, Amazon and others who are some of these digital native organizations who have implemented a variety of automation technologies. So you have robots and others within the warehouse. So in the future, we'll have a warehouse which completely is automated, and whenever you have these, the appointments being booked by customers, so you have humans coming in and intervening in certain parts of the activities, but for that, everything else is mostly automated. So I imagine this like a black box warehouse where you have everything happening in sync automatically, and you just need to feed in the inputs in terms of, hey, I need to have these many customers coming in today, and these many customers are sending the trucks to pick up the goods. So if you have all of those business inputs provided to the system, it automatically manages it and does things beautifully and in a repeatable manner. So that probably is the future where we're heading to.
Oh, fascinating. Ganesh, we're coming towards the end of the podcast now. Is there any question I haven't asked that you wish I had, or any aspect of this that we've not discussed that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
Yeah. One aspect I briefly touched upon, I think it's worth emphasizing, is once you have a solution, a lot of people talk about picking the right solution, and they talk about AI, computer vision, and other technologies. Yes, that's important. But the bigger challenge when it comes to data science applications is in helping users adopt it. So if building applications is tough, helping them adopt it is even tougher. This, again, needs factors like we talked about, the role of leadership, re-architecting the business processes, and change management. But it needs continuous attention throughout the solution design phase. Again, to give an example from the work at Gramner, we've seen the best results come when you involve the business teams right from the time you choose the projects, so that there is a sense of ownership. And they get involved when you're building the solution, and on a weekly or a fortnightly basis, they get involved. They review the solution as it is being built. And that way, they can act as ambassadors to take the solution to other parts of the organization, rather than a technology team taking the ownership and trying to educate and train the users. If you have, say, for instance, warehouse managers or the business leaders playing that role, that is seamless and very effective. So that's, again, important for adoption. You'll have to start right with the right strategy, and also you'll have to focus on the last mile and ensure adoption is right. That's very important.
Fascinating. Ganesh, that's been really interesting. If people want to know more about yourself or about Gramner or data science or any of the things we discussed on the podcast today, where would you have me direct them?
Gramner, the website, we'll share the links in the podcast at the end. So the website is a good place, and we are active on LinkedIn. I'm active on LinkedIn and Twitter as well. And I have a newsletter I publish on a fortnightly basis. So these are good points to get in touch.
Cool. I'll have links to all those in the podcast notes. Super. Ganesh, that's been really great. Thanks for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain, or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.